94.1. Grease Lug, Humboldt's New Rock.
It is 10:02. I'm John Matthews. This is 94.1 KSLG FM, Hydesville, Eureka Arcata, streaming and podcasting at KSLG.com. Yesterday, I spoke with the coach of the McClymonds High School football team and also Tag Waterspoon, who covers the Ferndale and Fortuna games for a radio station here in the building, about what has been described as a racist incident that took place at the season opening match here in Ferndale. Now, the story is that a Ferndale fan near the sidelines is alleged to have taunted a McClymonds player with racial epithets. And Caroline Titus, through the Ferndale Enterprise, describes it this way, saying that the coach of the McClymonds High School football team is asking now for a letter of apology to come from the Ferndale High School principal to the principal of the Oakland school after racial slurs were allegedly made toward a McClymonds player at the game about a week ago on Saturday. And the coach, Curtis McCauley, confirmed the statements made in a letter to the editor by a grandfather of the McClymonds player. And that was attorney Stephen Walters. And he is alleging again that a fan or fans yelled racial slurs at his grandson at the North End Zone. And alleged to have been yelled here. I was too far away to hear what happened, but after the game, my grandson told me that a Ferndale fan or fans had said words to the effect of, get up you effing N and take your N-A back to Oakland. And he, again, this is Stephen Walters of Oakland, says, I'm certain that this happened. And on the phone now is Mike Martin. He is someone that I know not very well, but he is someone that I encounter here in Ferndale. And I actually saw him on Saturday because I was over at the Gem Fest here in Ferndale, and he is on the phone. Now, hello, Mike. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So you called me yesterday, and you said that you were in that area at the time when all this went down. So you were on the sidelines, and how would you describe what happened? What happened in your words?
Well, in my words, I was one of only three people down in the end zone, so I was right there. I heard everything. I participated in saying something myself, and there were three of us. Actually, there were four. Joe Capini was also there, but he was walking down. He was at the end of the end zone, so there's basically right there at the where the place took play, there were three of us. Myself and the other gentleman, I don't know, I was never introduced to him, or I don't know him. I know he's a Ferndale kid. And then Stacy Townsend was on the other side of him. So the three of us were the only ones right down there. And I know exactly what I said, and what I said when the Ferndale guy caught the ball, I said to number 7, you only missed by 2 inches, 7, and that's what I said. I don't know if I was even heard. Whether or not I was or not isn't the point, because they were cheering because Ferndale just scored and the boys were coming off the field. But my statement was, you only missed by 2 inches, 7, meaning by that's what he missed hitting the ball or getting the ball out. That was all. Then the boy that was the number 7 kid, he was feeling bad, I'm sure of it, because we scored on him. And so he was down on his knees with his head down, you know, and he was not feeling real good. And then I heard, I was applauding the boys coming off, and then I heard from the gentleman to the right of me, and this is as close to the exact quote as I can get, keep your head down, 7, you're going home. There was no sexual there was no racial connotation at all. The closest I can remember is he said, keep your head down, 7, you're going home.
And who said that?
The guy that was in between Stacy and myself. I've never met the guy, so I don't know. I heard what the gentleman's name was, but I'm not going to speculate that that's actually who it was. I'm going to just say I don't know the gentleman's name. I've seen him at a lot of games and stuff, but I don't know. I don't know his name, but I do know that Stacy was on the other side of him, and these two guys knew each other. And I knew who Stacy was, but I didn't know this other kid in between. But he's the one in the middle of us said, keep your head down, 7, you're going home. And that is all that was said.
And
that's it.
And the way that it's described, the way that the player reacted, and this is in the Ferndale Enterprise, the McClymonds player reacted to the alleged racial slurs by pointing and yelling at the fans after getting up from a play. The player left the field after considerable urging by the officials, his teammates and coaches, according to those who were aware of what happened. But I mean, how would you describe the player's reaction?
Well, it was intense. But he got up and I got to tell you, there was not a word that came out of his mouth that didn't start with an M or an F. And I mean, he just went nuts, which is understandable. Being an old athlete, or you know, you get it so intense and your adrenaline gets going, and he, I'm sure he wasn't upset because of racial slur, but he was upset because he missed his play. And anything that was said, it keyed him. But I've got to tell you, there was no racial slur at all. I was within 5 feet of the guy that said what he said, and it's keep your head down, seven, you're going home. And that is all that was said, other than what I said. I was the first one to say anything, and I said you only missed by 2 inches, seven. That's all I said.
And when he got up, and you're saying that he was cursing MF and things like that, oh, who was he directing that at specifically?
You know, I think he believed Stacy to do it, said it, because he was pointing right at Stacy, and then Stacy put up his hands because he didn't say one word at all. He said nothing. He said nothing, but the guy got up and started pointing at him, and Stacy just put up his hands, and he said it wasn't me. And the kid was, I'll get you. I mean, he threatened Stacy, but I mean, you know,
threatened him in what way?
Is when you're a player. I mean, let's get to the field. When you're a player, I mean, okay, I'll go back to. I can remember one time that I was really upset. Not upset to do anything about that, but I went down the field. I was going out for a pass, and I dropped a ball. I was wide open. Well, I walked past the sidelines. Hey, you're our best player. Hey, you know, good hands, Martin. Stuff like that. That's always been a part of football, coming from both sides. Racial slurs, I've never heard anybody on the Ferndale sidelines, as long as I've been going to games, never has there been any sexual remarks that I've ever heard. But I mean, it's sexual, jeez, oh,
where's your mind, Mike?
Yeah, where is my mind? Anyway, you know, John, unfortunately, racism is still an ugly part of our society. But, you know, to base what has gone on one person's letter, and I mean, it not only has fuel, but it also is a biased opinion. It's based only on partial information. And, you know, some call it sensationalism. Although I can't be at all places at all times or hear everyone on the field, my opinion is, and it's only an opinion because I can't hear everything, my opinion through just participation is I've never, and let me repeat, I've never, ever heard a racial remark ever come from the Ferndale fans in over 40 years of being on the sidelines.
And you had said that the player threatened Stacy.
He said he was going to get him, and Stacy actually said, "God," he said, he was going to get me. He was going to come after me. He said, "He was getting off the field immediately. He didn't even go out in the middle of the field at the end of the game like we always do."
And so,
I mean, yeah,
so
he got up and he was pointing, "I'll get you, mama. You know, you're MF." And I mean, another thing that was really, really strange about that is, I believe that if there would have been anything said like that, first of all, the Ferndale sidelines would have been flagged. And second of all, when they took the kid off the field, if there had been anything said like that, he had, you know, yeah, I mean, I just don't understand it. I mean, if anybody reacts like that for any account on the field, and excluding racism, I'm not including racism, but, you know, some kid gets up and somebody says something like we said that wasn't racist, and he reacts like that and curses. I mean, his cursing was really bad, and I'm not trying to put it on the kid because he was angry because he missed the play. It's not the kid's fault, but it was his fault that he reacted the way he did. And because there were no racial slurs. I could understand reacting like that if there was a racial slur, but don't you believe that if there was a racial slur that he could hear, that his other teammates would have been able to hear it also, plus they would have been involved in it too? I mean, it's not just one guy that would have reacted to a racial remark.
Well, see, that's the thing, Mike, because I wasn't there. I was actually back here at the studio. While I was involved with the broadcast, I was only back here, so I couldn't see what was happening. How close were you to the player at the time? And was there an attempt made to sort of calm him down or to say, hey, wait a minute, we didn't say that? Or, I mean, was he saying that you called me an N or things like that?
No, he wasn't making any allegations at that point. He was just fired up. He was upset, and when the guy next to me said, keep your head down, Seven, you're going home, that's when he got up and he reacted to that. And then he got up and started pointing at Stacy and saying, MF this, my MF you, I'm going to get you, you MF, and just things like that. I mean, it was, and I'm not, again, trying to blame the kid for the situation. I'm just trying to say that his overreaction was to his adrenaline, his missing the ball, whatever it is. But I think that, you know, after coaching for a lot of years and after participating in sports all my life, there's a point where you just get so upset you lose it, you know. And this gentleman lost it, and I've had kids like that before that. You know, they're embarrassed about what they have done after the fact, or, God, that isn't the way we taught you to play ball. You don't do stuff like that. So it has to be passed off as a blame for something else.
So then it's clear that what you're saying is that the player is not telling the truth, that he's lying, that he's making this up.
Well, you know, I don't call people liars, but I know I was at the spot where the things were said, and I was one of the people that said something, and there were no racial remarks from anybody that I heard, and especially from the people that I was right next to that were being blamed for saying it. And actually, Stacy was the one who was being pointed at, and he said absolutely nothing.
He said absolutely nothing.
He said absolutely nothing. When the kids started pointing at him and calling him MF this, MF that, Stacy just put up his hands and, like, it wasn't me. And that was all Stacy did. And then the guy just was kind of threatening Stacy on the...
Sure,
on the field. I'll get you.
Sure, and again, just to get back to the actual quote that is alleged here, and this is, again, according to Stephen Walters, he's the grandfather of the player, saying, get up, you effing N, and take your N.A. back to Oakland. So that sounds much different than what you're saying was said.
Never happened. It just never happened. And if the grandfather was over on the other side of the field in the stands, he didn't even hear what was said, let alone, I mean, he was taking it on what his grandson was saying, that it was a racial slur. And I'm here to just say this has got to stop because there were no racial slurs.
Flat out. I mean, that's just the bottom line. First of all, I wouldn't have called.
If I made a racial slur, which I would never do because I'm not a racist, but if I had made a racial slur or the person next to me made a racial slur, I would have stepped up and said, yes, there was a racial slur. But I know I would never make any kind of a racial slur at all, and I know that what I heard come out of the mouth next to me, which would have been the only two people that kid could have heard because we were the closest people to him, and he was, you know, he pointed right at us, but he thought Stacy said it, I guess. But, you know, you would think that even on the field, if the referee would have heard and there was a linesman and referee were closer to us than the kid was, if they would have heard that, they would have flagged the sidelines. They would have flagged. I mean, it's a penalty to do stuff like that.
So, Mike, you promised to me, you're promising me that nothing was said that involved racism whatsoever. That is the bottom line. No way around it. That is a fact.
That is a fact. That is a fact. And I'm limiting it to the three people that were being pointed at and were involved down at the sidelines.
But again, since ten yards up the field
okay, or any of that. But the people that were
involved in that particular incident,
in that particular play,
right,
were Stacy Townsend, myself, and then the other kids in the middle. And I've heard his name, but I'm not going to say it because I don't know. I've never met the guy, and I don't want to bring somebody into it that's not involved. So I'm sure Stacy or someone else knows who it is, but I've never met the man, and so I don't know his
I understand that.
I'm not going to make any allegations.
Okay.
To I understand somebody that.
That
I don't know
but,
their name.
But see, it wouldn't even, I mean, I, but it, 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 the important thing to state is that you were there, and you're saying he didn't even say anything like that. So as far as you're concerned, within your orbit, nothing like that.
There was nothing
no racism.
Said effing and there was none of that. None of that language was used, except coming from him after he thought.
So he was cursing. He was cursing. And you see, the reason that all this. Upset me. Well, for the obvious reason, because if it was in fact true, or if it is true, then it's just it's disturbing. And something occurred apparently at the end of last season with a Ferndale player. We were on the road, and I say we because I was actually there covering it for The Point here in the building, and it was down in Richmond at Salesian. And the idea was that there was a Ferndale player who said something, and I don't know exactly what was said. And again, I was in the stands, but the idea is that the fan on the sidelines used the N-word, and then the player flipped out, like we saw this past weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before that, and again, there was this allegation of racism. So it just it's chilling.
You know, I was down at that game too, John, and I was down in that game and I was on the sidelines, but I did not find out about that until this one came out. When this came out, somebody told me, "Well, yeah, we have the one from Salesian last year," and I said, "What one from Salesian?" And because I was down there on the sidelines of that game too, unfortunately, but. You know, I can't say that I heard anything down there because I didn't hear anything, but I'm not saying that it didn't happen either. I would just based on the fans of Ferndale, I mean, like I said, in over 40 years, I mean, actually closer to 50 years of actually playing on that field and then being a fan on it for so many years, I've never heard anybody yell out any kind of racial thing at all, ever. Not saying, and I'm not saying it didn't happen, because like I said,
you didn't hear.
I'm not God. I can't be at all places at all times, but when you're on the sidelines and people are yelling, you can pretty much hear what they're saying. But I have, first of all, Let me tell you, the sideline crew of Ferndale, the sideline bunch of Ferndale, are down there because they love the sport and they participate in the sport. No one that loves the sport as much as those people that are down there on the sidelines would ever, ever incorporate a racial slur into Ferndale football. Now, if it has happened that I don't know about it, well, then I'm wrong. But in the amount of years and amount of games that I've been going down there and being a part of the sidelines, never, ever have I heard anyone use racial slurs.
Now, it's my understanding that you came and be on the sidelines at football games in the high school world. During this discussion yesterday when I was talking to the McClimans football coach, that was the idea, that you're not allowed to be on the sidelines. Is that something?
Well, you know what he's saying on the sidelines is we're not right on the sidelines, and every school has sideline walkers that they've got it roped off behind the field. You know, I mean, even Salesian and all those places down there. We go there's a few schools that have nicer stadiums that you can't go down on the field, but the high school stadiums are pretty much you can walk the sidelines. I mean,
I don't know, Mike. I don't know.
A lot of different places, but the sidelines aren't the sidelines. They aren't like right on the field. The ropes are pushed back 10, 15, 20 feet sometimes. So it's just, you know, you're not right on the field. You're as close as the closest people in the stands, just about.
Well, I mean, my reading of the rule has something to the effect of parents, booster club members, and other such unauthorized personnel must be in the stands to an extent. I mean, that's, again, my understanding. I'd have to look at it more carefully, but I do.
Plus in Ferndale, you couldn't do that because the stands, there's not enough room in the stands. But, you know, go to a Fortuna game. You've been to Fortuna
sure.
games. You can be on the sidelines, and they've got it roped off. Go to Crescent City.
Well,
go
sure,
to,
I,
go
I'm,
to any
sure.
Of these,
I'm aware of that, but I mean, I think the rule states otherwise that you shouldn't do that. I mean, that's just my understanding.
No, the rule says you can't be on the field.
Can't be on the field? What?
Well, you can't be on the field. The field ends where the coaching box ends, and then like then there's the track and everything. We're behind the track.
Well, Mike, I'm like, I will see you around town. I will actually print it out, and then we can take a look at it together, and then we can just look at it and figure it out.
I mean, you can't be on the field. You can't be on the playing surface.
I get that.
But you can be on the sidelines. Well, and I don't believe unless it's a brand new rule. And some schools are just moving their ropes back. But I'll take Ferndale, for instance. If you had everyone that's on the sidelines in the stands, you'd need another three sets of bleachers.
That may be something to look at. There could be something to look at. We need bleachers. Take them from the fairgrounds, maybe, if need be. That would be one idea.
No, actually, you just need the sensationalism stopped, and because there is no racism that's been going on the sidelines, you just need this. I mean,
it's not sensationalism, because up until today, I didn't even know who was on the sidelines. What I knew was what the player was saying, and then you're saying that that's not true, and that he is making it up, so that... That's new information. As of yesterday, all I had to go on was just what the player said, and the people were backing him up, and they were backing him up because they're saying that he's a good kid, and they would be surprised if he behaved in the way that you're saying. That's all. So, I mean, it's your word against his. That's all I have. That's all I have.
His behavior was obvious. His behavior was obvious, and you take a look at the rules from God, I forget his name. Number seven. I'll refer to him as number seven. What he did was uncalled for, and he should have been suspended from the game at that time using that kind of language. But, you know, the whole thing isn't laying on him again. And whether he did not tell the truth or someone else made something up or whatever it does, look at it this way, John. If you're any one of those McClyman players on the field besides that number seven, and you heard that, or the other rest of the team heard that, don't you think they would have also reacted in the same way? I mean, it wouldn't be limited to one person's ears if anything was said derogatory about race.
No, sure. If I'd been there and I'd heard that, I would have approached an official and said, "Here's what happened, and I think we should address it." But I wasn't there.
Being the adrenaline flow and everything right on the field, if any of those other players would have heard that. If any of the other athletes would have heard that, they also would have addressed the situation, you know, maybe going to their coach if they weren't all hot. But if there was something that was that nastily said to anybody, don't you think that other people on that team would have reacted to that?
Sure, I would hope so. I would think so, because it would be, I mean, it's a huge problem.
If you ever have an opportunity to see the films, what I understand about the films is there was no reaction other than
that one player.
Seven's reaction,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me point out that three officials were right there, and if they would have heard something like that, I believe the person would have been removed from the stadium, and Ferndale would have got a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there would have been some repercussions. But Mike, here's what I want to do. This is my plan, and you will say yes to this. But so I, at this point, would like to have you in here, and then we'll call up the player, and then we'll just try to work this out very briefly later this week. Because right now, this player and his grandfather and the coach, they believe that he heard something that you're saying he didn't hear. So I think that we could all work it out and then move on. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, I can't come into the...
Why not?
I can't come in because I've got my store. I'm down in Garberville. I have my store down in Garberville.
That's fine.
Maybe...
How about on the phone? We'll do it on the phone once I can figure out how to do this with this student, because he's a student. I'd have to get him out of class for a couple minutes. Can we do that? It'll be fine. We'll just work it out.
It's fine with me.
All right, good. All right,
I just don't want to get into a little PC war about...
we're not going to do that.
What?
Well, no. No, we'll just...
We're going to get in an argument about it.
We're not getting into an argument.
I know what I said. And I know what the guy next to me said, and if it's just going to be a combative, no, he said this, he said this.
No.
Don't
worry. I'm not going to let it escalate to a level that you would find unfortunate. Don't worry. Don't worry.
I mean, and I have no. If this kid was affected by what I said, I will make a public apology to him. I
think we should start with that because, quite frankly, it's a kid, man. I mean, so you're on the sidelines, and I played sports back in high school, and some things were said to me, which I found to be a little jarring. But I never really understood that when the adults were slamming me. That's weird. I mean, these are kids. I was a kid.
How did you react, John?
Nothing. I just walked away. I was like, "Hey, screw you!" In my head.
That mattered. No. I mean, how did you react?
I mean, I just generally walked away.
Just to build character, and the character did not shine through on this one. And
well, Mike, can you do me a favor and not yell at the kids anymore? Whatever it is. Just, I mean,
well, you know what? You know what? Let's just mute all the fans. You know, it's always a start.
You don't have to mute the fans,
okay,
but...
You know, like you go to Ferndale Fortuna game. There's no racism involved there. Pretty much predominantly white ball players. And, you know, like, okay, let's say Brady Shea throws an interception. Good arm, Shea, good arm.
Yeah, that's fine.
What's wrong with that? That's being a fan.
That's good stuff.
You know what? That's happened ever since I've ever been involved in sports. It's just like, let me give you a little scenario here. I coached Little League down here in Southern Humboldt for a couple years, and because the mothers didn't want their kids' feelings to get hurt, there was no infield chatter. You could not chatter in the infield, hey, batter, batter, none of that. It's just, you couldn't, as a matter of taste, mothers were afraid that their kids would be emotionally hurt.
Can't you see how, well, clearly the kid was upset. I mean, there's no two ways about that.
He was way upset prior to one word coming out of anybody's mouth because he missed his play. You know, I would have been upset every time I missed a play or dropped a pass. Yeah, you're out there to do the best you can, but you're not out there to make false accusations when you do maybe not make your play and you hear something in the sidelines and, okay, all of a sudden it's a racial slur.
All right, Mike.
No, I mean, it's not right, John. It's just not right.
I understand. Well, I will be in touch and we'll see if we can get something going later this week and then we'll just move on from there. How's that?
Whatever you want, John.
All right, I'll give you a call.
I just had to step up and just say that nothing like this was
good. I appreciate you coming on. I do.
All right.
All right, Mike.
All right. You've got my number. During the week, use the cell phone number because I'll be at work and I'll have it there.
All right. I can find you. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, you'll find me, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. That is
take care.
Mike Martin. He was on the sidelines at the Ferndale game when this incident occurred. And the player, again, is saying that the N-word was used and some other strong language. And you can read about that through the Lost Coast Outpost, and if you have a copy of the Ferndale Enterprise from last week, there's a full story in there, as well as the grandfather of the player, Stephen Walters. He wrote in, and the player's story is quite different than Mike Martin's, but that is what Mike Martin is saying. So maybe later this week we will have the player on just to try to clear it up further. Coming up after the break, it will be the Kooks. New music from the Kooks on 94.1 KSLUG.